We'll call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Let the record reflect, it's 1:35 p.m. on this Thursday, March 11, 2010. We do have a quorum. To my far right, Senator Meyer, and to my left, we have Senator Davis. I expect that the other two senators will be joining us shortly. The purpose of our meeting today is to take up three new bills, Senate Bill 262 relating to Board of Social Work Examiners, Senate Bill 263 relating to Board of Professional Counselors, and Senate Bill 272 relating to rental car fees. The auditor for the first two bills is recommending the sunset of both boards to 2018. After testimony from the bill sponsor and stakeholders, it is my intent to move these bills today. Three members of this committee did hear Senate Bill 272 and State Transportation Committee, and it is, I believe, a straightforward bill that brings a statute in line with the Department of Law recommendations, and I also anticipate moving Senate Bill 272 today. But with that in mind, let's welcome Josh Appleby, staff to Senator Meyer, to present Senate Bill 262.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Josh Appleby, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer. I have for you today and your consideration Senate Bill 262, which extends the Board of Social Work Examiners. The Board of Social Work Examiners was established for the purpose of controlling and regulating the practice of social work in the state of Alaska. A licensed social worker applies social work principles and methods as defined under AS 0895-990 to help individuals achieve more adequate, satisfying, and productive social adjustments. As you stated, the Division of Legislative Audit did their audit and recommended that the board be extended to 2018. We have Pat Davidson here, the legislative auditor, to answer any specific questions about the audit itself. There were only a couple of audit recommendations that can be found on page 5 under report conclusions. And the conclusion was that it should be extended and that the board should improve administrative support. And we've seen this a lot, Mr. Chairman, in the audits this year, as Pat Davidson can attest to. But these are problems that are being worked out as we move forward. So with that, I recommend passage of this bill.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Appleby? Seeing none, then I call Pat forward. Please state your name for the record and state your affiliation, and we welcome you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. As Josh indicated, we did do a sunset review on the Board of Social Work Examiners. Our review found that the board is operating in the public interest by promoting competence and integrity in those providing services as licensed social workers. Our recommendation was an 8-year extension to June 30, 2018. This board did have one recommendation, and that was improved support, that the division should provide the board a little additional support in meeting its annual reporting goals and keeping its financial records.
All right, thank you. Any questions of Ms. Davidson? Seeing none, we thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we have Jennifer Strickler. I know you're here for questions only. Would you like the opportunity to say anything? You're certainly welcome to if you would like.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jennifer Strickler, Operations Manager for the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing in the Department of Commerce. As I've stated on earlier sunset bills, we have made progress in trying to improve on the administrative support to the boards, and we certainly have done the same here. The fiscal note represents the direct costs of operating this profession. This board is paying its own way. They're actually running in a little bit in the credit. And so all is well.
All right. Any questions for Ms. Strickler? Seeing none, the committee thanks you. The last person that I see that is signed up that's off-site that, as I understand, is available for questions is Daryl Allman. Would you wish to make any comment to the committee? Daryl?
No, Mr. Chairman. If there's no questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Allman. Given that, are there any discussions that the committee would like to hear with respect to the Board of Social Work Examiners? I would accept the motion, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 262 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And I would wish the record to reflect that Senator Bundy has joined us, so we have four members now, but the motion before the committee by Senator Meyer is with respect to Senate Bill 262 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so moved. We'll take a brief at ease for signature. We'll bring the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee back to order, and the record should reflect also that Senator Thomas has joined us, so we have all five members of the committee. And we are now addressing Senate Bill 263 relating to the extension of the Board of Professional Counselors. We would like to again welcome back Josh Appleby, staff to Senator Meyer, to the table to present the merits of this bill. Please identify yourself and affiliation and present the merits of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Josh Appleby, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer and the Labor and Commerce Committee, or not the Labor and Commerce Committee, let's say Budget and Audit Committee. I apologize. 4 years with Labor and Commerce in the House, you kind of get it rolled into your tongue. House Bill 263, Mr. Chairman, is an extension bill for the Board of Professional Counselors, very similar to the last bill. Legislative Audit has recommended an extension to 2018. In the report conclusions, they also found that they had two additional recommendations. One, again, relates to administrative support. And then the other one is relating to the addressing investigations in a timely manner. And that has to go to their management information systems. I've talked with the department, and they are upgrading their systems now. And you know, should have that online in the next month or so. So I think they're doing a pretty good job addressing the concerns of the audit and recommend that you support their extension to 2018.
Are there any questions of Mr. Appleby by any members of the committee? Seeing none, we thank you, Mr. Appleby. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We would welcome Pat to come up again. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. As Josh indicated, we did conduct a sunset review on the Board of Professional Counselors. The objective of the audit was to determine if the board was operating in the public's interest, and we found that, indeed, the board is operating in the public's interest and that the termination date should be extended till June 30, 2018. The report includes four recommendations, two that you're going to find very common to any sunset review you see this year. One is that the board needed additional administrative support from the division. And then the second one was that the Office of the Governor, Boards and Commissions, needs to appoint board members in a more timely manner. There were two additional recommendations made for this board, as Josh indicated, and they had to do with investigations. First one was just overall, as he indicated, the system doesn't highlight inactive cases, and so they sort of fall off people's radar and nothing happens. If you're going to be diligent at deciding who you're going to license, you also need to be diligent in making sure that they are upholding their professional responsibilities. The second recommendation had to do with I guess I'd call it dropped communications between the licensing examiner, the division investigators, and the board. It had to do with a particular complaint. The licensing examiner received some additional information from the licensee that clearly should have been passed along to the investigation section. The mistake was she believed that they had already had that information. The board doesn't typically involve itself in the paperwork with regard to license renewals. It fell through the cracks. It shouldn't have. And so the recommendation is to have the licensing examiners be communicating with investigators. Even if they think that information is redundant, do it anyway. That's
it. You feel confident that they've listened to that message?
I think they heard that message, yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any questions from the committee of Ms. Davidson? Seeing none, we thank you very much. Again, Jennifer Strickler has, if there's anything that you would like to say, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Jennifer Strickler, Operations Manager for the Division of Corporations Business Professional Licensing, Department of Commerce. This is another board area that is operating with a credit, so they are paying their own way. We have made administrative improvements, as noted in the audit, and I'd just like to address recommendations number two and number three, where it pertains to investigations. The division is in the process of right now working with a vendor or a contractor in securing a new case management system so that all of these points will be satisfied.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Are there any questions of the committee of Ms. Strickler?
No.
Seeing none, we thank you very much. Then we have off-site Emily Zimbrich. Is there an Emily Zimbrich?
Yes, I'm here.
I note that you're here if for questions only, but if you would like to provide any testimony or indicate anything to the committee, that you're certainly welcome to do so.
Well, the Board of Professional Counselors, we have 442 current licensed professional counselors. And we are there because for the safety of people that come in for counseling and therapy and to keep the profession current on the different ethics laws and confidentiality and issues that come up with our licensees. So I believe that we're a very viable board that to represent the state and to make sure that people that are seeking mental health and behavioral health counseling are as safe as possible.
Thank you. Would you please identify yourself and state your affiliation so we have that on the record?
Okay, my name is Emily Zimbrick. I'm vice chair of the Board of Professional Counselors.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions by this committee of Emily Zimbrich? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else off-site that has signed up to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone present in the audience that would like to address Senate Bill 263? Seeing none, I close public testimony. Is there any discussion needed by this committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, just as a sidebar, you know, this is the third or fourth time Pat Davidson's been here, and my tenure goes back far enough that I remember when Pat, in a rather vigorous competition, was selected as auditor, and just haven't had a chance to personally tell you I made the right decision when I backed you. You've done a great job. Thank you.
It's very appropriately said. I would entertain a motion to move Senate Bill 263.
Okay. Thank Mr. Chairman. I move that we move Senate Bill 263 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objections thereto? Seeing none, so moved. We'll take a brief at ease for silence. Bring Senate Labor and Commerce back to order. We now have before us Senate Bill 272, and I note the bill sponsor, Senator Huggins, is here. If he would please come forward, and certainly his staff, Edra Morledge, is certainly welcome to both be at the table at the same time. And please identify yourselves and your affiliation and present your bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Charlie Huggins, Senate District Hotel, which is Rural Matsu, Peters Creek, and Chugiak. And Edra, who is much better versed than I'll let her introduce herself.
Edra Morledge, staff to Senator Huggins.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, if I might just very quickly, Edra, I'll give her full credit. She knows this much better than I, but she asked me to come today. First of all, before I digress, I'd like to thank Jeff for his adept handling of this bill. But, you know, the beauty of this bill is it's simple, but I'll point out here that you look on Edra's sleeve, she has a Tibetan religious bracelet on today, which has a strong fragrance as good luck for this bill. So I point that out to you. She doesn't need that good luck. But, you know, Senate Bill 272, there's nothing unique about it, but it's always good to be on the side of consumer protection, and this is about consumer protection. Because we have all traveled places and got a quote for a $50 vehicle, and by the time it was all done, it was a $75 vehicle because of all those things that we didn't know about. And Senate Bill 272 essentially creates full disclosure. And if you violate that, it's a fair trade practice. That's not bad. And for the people within Alaska, and this is about Alaska, the number of people, we may go to Fairbanks, or people from the bush may come into Anchorage or Fairbanks, they rent a vehicle, this will help protect them. And my first exposure to the rental car business in Alaska is when we did the rental car garage out at the airport, which has been a huge improvement. But now this is sort of icing on that cake in the sense that people that use our rental cars in our new facility in Anchorage, at least, when they come, they will see on their bill and on their projection for what it's going to cost the elements and some factors that they can't charge people for. And for that, I say thank you very much for taking up the bill, and we're certainly proud to be able to represent the people of Alaska in this effort.
Well, you're a wonderful advocate for it. So, Ms. Morledge, if you could please present the technical aspects of the bill. And
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Edra Morledge, staff to Senator Huggins. I am introducing Senate Bill 272, an act relating to charges for rented motor vehicles, including cost recovery fees, and making a violation of the rented motor vehicle charge provisions an unfair trade practice. Excuse me. Senate Bill 272 is a technical bill that will allow rental car companies to do in Alaska what they already do in 30 other states. Alaska law is currently silent on the issue of separately listed charges on rental car statements for the recovery of fees, and this bill would require that those fees be listed separately and clearly identified on the agreement and in any quote. In addition to government taxes and surcharges, rental car companies also assess additional cost recovery fees. Consumers should be made aware of those and be able to see the fees that they're being charged on both the bill and an online quote. This Senate bill would provide full disclosure and transparency of cost recovery fees that are included in rental car agreements. And in addition, it would make violating the provisions of this bill an unfair trade practice. And
Senator Bundy.
Go ahead and finish, and then I'll ask my question.
No, I was wrapped up.
Well, you used two different terms. I just want, and I think I understand correctly, but I wanted for the record to be accurate. You said it would allow the credit card companies to do this, but it actually requires them to list those separate fees, does it not?
Well, currently there
if
are
they're
no
going to charge for them, they have to list
through the chair. Yes, Senator Bundy. Currently, there are absolutely no laws on the books. So this, by putting a law on the books, that's the allowance that it gives the company.
Okay, it's semantic. I'm sorry. Yeah, but it is a requirement, so we don't get the bait and switch kind of thing that I think the senator alluded to earlier. Yeah.
It requires a disclosure, both at the time when the projection of what the cost is going to be, when you consummate and you pay out. It requires a disclosure. You know, to be quite frank, there are some rental car organizations that don't necessarily like this. I think it would be fair to say that most do, but some have a much broader practice where they have an energy fee or a tire fee. This doesn't allow that, but that's okay, because this is about us protecting our Alaskan neighbors and not about big international organizations being able to gouge them, quite frankly.
Is it a fair statement to make that the intent of this bill is that the ultimate charge that the rental company would impose has to be their advertised charge, and if there are governmental mandated fees or airport facility fees in addition to that, but at least the core rental has to be disclosed, and that is what has to be transparent?
That's correct. It's itemized. You can look right on both the projection and the final billing fee is all itemized. Otherwise, it's a fair trade practice violation.
Any questions of Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there anything in the bill that requires the print to be a little larger in those rental agreements that you have to sign?
We're working on a magnifying glass provision for the older guys.
But that'd be good. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions of the committee or comment by the presenters? You're certainly welcome to stay there. The only people that we have are two off-site people. Don Fonte from Hertz, are you available?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please identify yourself and state your affiliation and provide your testimony.
My name is Don Fonte. I'm Director of Government Relations for the Hertz Corporation. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide some comments. I'd like to begin by saying that Hertz supports the concept of this legislation as it relates to full disclosure to the consumer of any taxes and other charges in a vehicle rental agreement. Hertz is concerned, however, with the provision in the bill that limits the permissible charges that may be included in a rental agreement. Hertz would respectfully urge the legislature to consider amending the bill to allow additional separately itemized charges in the rental agreement aside from those listed in the bill, provided that all such itemized charges are fully disclosed to the consumer at the time of reservation and rental. And disclosure of those charges is common practice within the car rental industry. I'd add that all of Hertz's distribution channels, whether it's on our company website or through our 800 number, or even third-party booking sites like Travelocity or Expedia, the consumer is provided a total estimated price and has available all of the component parts of that price. And with that information, the consumer is able to make a fully informed decision about whether they want to complete the rental transaction. Hertz has forwarded to the committee an amendment for your consideration that would make those changes and make the legislation consistent with similar statutes that were adopted in a number of states over the last couple of years. And the relevant language in those statutes was agreed to by all of the major car rental companies within the industry. And there are currently two states where bills are now pending that include the language we've proposed. So the proposed amendment would simply bring Alaska into alignment with those states. And, you know, I heard some of the comments from Senator Huggins, and, you know, I completely, you know, Hertz completely agrees with the concept of fully disclosing to the consumer what our charges are, both the base rate and the total estimated price. So, you know, with that, I thank you for the ability to, you know, present some comments. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. And if you're a counsel and not corporate headquarters, perhaps you may not answer it, but I'll ask the question just to vent some frustration, not just with rental cars, but a lot of companies that why not just roll all the costs into the bottom line and not have all these separated out? I think I may answer my own question, and if you think there are a lot of people out there that think red China is something you eat off of, that they are just not too bright, or somehow think that if you can claim it's a government charge, they will find it more acceptable. Wouldn't it be just a lot simpler and a lot less paperwork if you just said it's a $69 rental instead of a $40 rental with all these add-ons?
Yeah, well, I think I think that it really comes down to many of the fees were governmentally imposed. And you have different fees in different places and, you know, even within a state. So, you know, we felt that itemizing the charges was appropriate. and it also makes transparent to the consumer what the component parts of the total price was. You know, I think there was a feeling that making those charges transparent to the consumer was the appropriate thing to do.
As I said, it was ventilation, not a
really any question. Further questions of Mr. Fonte? What I would request is, Senator Huggins, what is your position with respect to the amendment?
Well, he makes an interesting point. To be quite frank, what he is representing essentially guts this bill. Because it would be open-ended, and they could list any charges they wanted to, and I happen to agree with Senator Bundy in the respect that if there are some things outside this bill that Hertz wants to include, just put it in the overall price of the car. This is about Alaska. For the other states and what they're doing, there are 30 states that are doing what we're describing here, and he talked about two states. And some states may have some add-on provisions, but let them practice that. But this is about Alaska and Alaskans. And if Hertz wants an additional charge, put it on the overall charge of the car, like every other person or organization that has to operate within the state of Alaska. It's an even playing field.
So you believe the Senate Bill 272, as it currently is written, is the best protection of Alaska consumers?
It is as good as it gets consumer protection-wise in rental cars in Alaska.
We now have Ed Sniffen, Anchorage Department of Law, on the line.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed Sniffen with the Department of Law. I work in the Consumer Protection Unit, where I enforce Alaska's consumer protection and antitrust statutes, which I've been at now for about 10 years. And thank you for the opportunity to testify. I agree completely with Senator Huggins. This bill, as it is written, provides good consumer protection, and the department supports it. And I think Senator Bundy makes a very good point. There are, you know, a certain number of charges that could be added on to a rental contract, and there are some terms of art being used here, and I think by the Hertz representative that you might take into account. There's a base price, and there's a total price, and what you see when you go online to rent your car is a base price, and it's going to be, you know, $19.95. And then you go three pages deep into the process, and you might see that there are cleaning fees and inspection fees and energy fees and fuel surcharges added on that bring that rental price up to $69.95. And it's that kind of conduct I think this bill would prohibit. The bill isolates only those charges that are actually paid out to a governmental entity, the airport fees, the government taxes, the vehicle licensing fee, which is paid to DMV. I think those charges are appropriate to itemize at the end of a transaction. Those are the kinds of government charges consumers expect to be added on, just like you would expect a hotel to add on some hotel tax that's paid to the municipality. But there are a host of other creative fees that a lot of companies like to use that add on to a bill, and consumers sometimes are misled by those because they may think that they are required by state law or that there's some other charge, and there's a certain amount of disclosure that you can do to clarify those things, as the Hertz representative said, but as we all know, you're tired when you get off the plane. You don't really read the fine print when you sign that contract. You want to get in your car and get to the hotel, and it's very it's tricky making those full disclosures in a meaningful, comprehensive way. So we certainly support this bill in its current form and would encourage the committee to provide its support as well. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Sniffen? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else off-site that would like to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone here physically present that would like to testify to Senate Bill 272? Seeing none, I'll close Senate Bill 272 to public testimony. Based upon what I have heard, I'm not interested in an amendment, but certainly would be willing to open it up to any discussion if someone is thinking towards that. Other than that, if entertaining a motion with respect to Senate Bill 272.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 272, version backslash A, to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations, and there is no attached, but do we have to still reference a zero fiscal note? There isn't any that I'm aware of, so.
Zero fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just object to make a comment. If Mr. Sniffen is still on the line, I wanted to thank him for his usual good counsel and remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator Bundy.
Thank you. And seeing no objections, Senate Bill 272 has moved from Senate Labor and Commerce with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease for signature.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bring Senate Labor and Commerce back to order. Just a little bit of housekeeping here. As the committee members know, I decided not to advance Senate Bill 97 that relates to crane licensure until additional work had been done by the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the stakeholders, and even this committee. And the Senate Secretary has advised me to bring the bill back before the committee and formally rescind the motion with respect to Senate Bill 97, which had technically, I guess, been moved to the next committee. So, Senator Thomas, may I have a motion?
You certainly may. Mr. Chairman, I move to rescind the motion made on January 26 to move Senate Bill 97 from committee.
Any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. And then lastly, as a matter of housekeeping, Senator Bundy, you know, I thought I might be the first, and I'm certainly not going to be the last to thank you formally on the record. You know, I heard the news today of your intentions on retiring at the end of this year, and I just personally want to thank you. You've been a very good participant in all the meetings that I've had here, and anyway, thanking you for all the years of your commitment to the state of Alaska, and so I wanted to make sure that that was formally noted on the record, and job well done.
Very kind, thank you.
So, anyway, with that, Senate Labor and Commerce.
Should we include in that motion version R? Neglected to mention that. Is that important that we?
Nice to hear that.
It's okay?
All right. Senate Labor and Commerce.